Good morning, everybody. It's John and Lisa on the Business Networking Show. Say hi, Lisa.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good, good. Today's guest, we've got Emma Wedgner in the room. Say hi, Emma.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Good, good. And don't be nervous. It's okay.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Honestly, we're not that bad.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
No.
Yeah, so obviously we're here today to talk to Emma about what she does, how she does it, why she does it, and obviously where she came from before, and of course, networking, because that's why we're here. That's what we do a lot of. So yeah, we've come from Ashford this morning. We did the networking at Ashford this morning at the Holiday Inn on the A20 near Hothfield. And yeah, it was a really nice meeting. Really great to hear the people in the room and hear what they were talking about, and did lots of different talks. And we had Ellie in the room talking about the Pilgrim's Hospice and how the Christmas tree collection went. And so they went and collected nearly 5,000 Christmas trees just after Christmas, which was fantastic. And they're always looking to volunteers. So that obviously next January, they will be looking for volunteers to drive vans and pick up trees. So if anyone is interested in that, then either get in touch with us or get in touch with Ellie or Layla within the Pilgrim's Hospice, and they can put you on their list. That would be really, really helpful. But and we raised over about £700 in December for Pilgrims. So really, really pleased with that. So yeah, but obviously, yeah, today is all about Emma, talking about what you do. So Emma, to start with, tell our listeners a bit about yourself and how you became a VA.
So I'm Emma. I live in Margate. So I've been a VA now for a year. It was a year in January.
Also, just before you go into it, I've just realised we're using terminology. What is a VA?
Let's start simple.
Yeah, yeah.
So a virtual assistant. So essentially it's the same as a PA, what someone would have in their offices. But then a VA is someone that's doing the work virtually for people. So I work from my own home, not having to be based in people's offices, and support businesses and entrepreneurs remotely.
Yeah.
So
okay, so back to what you were saying, sorry.
Yeah, so my background has been in PA work, EA work, which terminology, executive assistant and personal assistants.
Fair enough. Good.
So I worked in London. I moved to Amsterdam, set up an office out there, lived out there for a year. So yeah, I've always worked sort of high level EA, PA work earlier on in my career. And then I moved back to Kent because my mum was unwell and sadly passed away.
Yeah.
So my sister is a hairdresser, and she wanted to expand from her current salon and open one at Westford Cross Shopping Centre. So I then went into business with her, and for 15 years we had Kent's largest award-winning hair and beauty salon.
Oh, wow. And where was that based?
Westford Cross Shopping Centre.
Oh, okay.
Actually in the shopping centre.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we had a team.
Was that in like one of them mobile things?
No, we were literally underneath where the gym was initially.
Oh, I see.
So I think Vision Express is there now.
Yes.
Just opposite the car park.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the gym went above us and kept leaking, so we then had to move
premises. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And we went up around by the management suite. So yeah, we were there 10 years there, and then 5 years in Ramsgate, a team of 50 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was...
And that was all things beauty and salon and
hair, beauty, training academy. We had a gym.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a big setup.
Yeah.
But then COVID hit and obviously...
Good old COVID.
Good old COVID. So we all had to then close the businesses and be at home.
Sure.
And actually my sister and I realised how hard we worked, and I think I was at burnout, to be honest.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And having that time just made me realise I don't want to work to this level.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
landlord actually then put the building up for sale, and the person that wanted to buy it didn't want a tenant in there. They wanted to turn it into flats.
I see.
So I kind of see everything aligned, and that was that. So
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. So whilst it was sad, it was 15 years of, you know, some really good times, but I felt it was a good time to move on. So I went back into the corporate world and just did a very easy admin job. And I just thought, well, life's easy. I haven't got that burnout. I haven't got the stress. But I was bored. I was so bored.
Yeah.
I think going from being your own boss and just working to that extent, I have a very driven personality.
Sure.
So to just go in and do the bare minimum just felt a bit.
Yeah. I don't think I could ever go. I've said this loads of times, but I don't think I could ever be employed again.
I think I am unemployable. Yeah, I say that now. I'm working the best possible way.
You look back at, like, you've been self-employed for this long and you've been making the decisions of a whole business for this long. And then you try and go back into any sort of job. I just don't know.
It's
hard. I don't think I could do it.
And initially I was like, this is great. I am not the decision maker. I was like, doesn't matter. I'm not the decision maker.
Yeah.
But then when you have to do things like request a day off to go and spend time with my dad to have lunch and those kind of things, I just thought, no, this isn't a bit of me.
Well, that's always been my drive with being self-employed was always, I want to spend time with my kids. And it's as simple as that. So if they've got something going on, then I can go to it and then come back to work and work later that day, or maybe work on a Saturday, or maybe I don't need to. Maybe I've got a bit of time that week. I can just,
So, and I truly believe that is true wealth and, you know, having freedom more than financial wealth for me, because if it's a Tuesday afternoon and I want to go and ride my horse, I don't want to have to put in a holiday request and ask someone that. I know that my work can be done and I can get things done, but still, or go and see my dad or whatever it is.
Well, also with the horses, you might look out the window and go, it's absolutely pouring down with rain.
Nah,
maybe not.
How do you know I'm a fair weather rider?
Well, no, it's just, you're not going to, if it's your choice, I don't think there's many people that would choose to go and like spend a few hours on the back of a horse in absolute blizzards or, you know, whereas at the same time, you might look outside and go, it's a glorious day. Why not take advantage of it? And obviously in your role, you can.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. So the company that I went into, that I was doing the boring role, I basically that closed overnight.
Uh-huh.
Literally the whole company was 2,500 of us made redundant overnight.
Oh, gosh.
And again, I just think everything aligned because I wasn't particularly happy there, but I probably would have just bumbled along because it was easy. And I'm not a bumble along kind of person, but it was just kind of at that
stage. I get your point. You get into it. You get into, I wouldn't say a rut, but you get into just
a little,
you know, you get into that situation where you just think, there's money that enters your bank account at the end of each month and you're like, okay, that pays life.
Yeah.
And hopefully a bit more. And so you just go, all right.
Yeah.
And
until I think I'd made that decision or it was made for me, I probably would have maybe bumbled along for another year.
Yeah.
So, I then went off to Thailand for a few weeks because I'd already got the holiday booked. And I just thought, right, I'm going to sit and I'm going to reevaluate my life and what do I want to do?
Yep.
And then I was kind of trying to reinvent the wheel of what I wanted to do and what career path I wanted. And I just thought, why am I trying to do this when for 29 years, admin and administration and organising people and running businesses is what I do. And
you've been
what
doing
I do
it
well.
And you've been doing it well and you've been doing a very good job of it. And everything has been tickety-boo. And then all of a sudden, what?
Why am I then trying to find new career path?
Yeah, like, as you say, why are you trying to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
Just crack on. The wheel's round, crack on.
Exactly that. So I then was just like, right, virtual assistant, because I didn't want to go back into any kind of corporate work. I wanted to do something for myself. And I just thought there's a need for this. I know what I was like when I had my business, how many different balls you're juggling, plates that you're spinning, and it's just so much going on all the time. And what I found is quite often, like, for example, with my sister, she's a phenomenal hairdresser, but didn't necessarily know anything about social media or marketing or, you know, those aspects of things.
Absolutely.
Or a plumber is very good at doing plumbing, but doesn't necessarily know computers, invoices, all of that side of things.
Well, it's something that comes up a lot. You know, we talk about it within SBC, and obviously I'm sure other networks do the same thing, and you talk about it quite a lot where, you know, you don't go into business because you know every aspect of running a business, and all of a sudden you're thrust into, as you say, a plumber knows how to fit a boiler, how to deal with pipes and you know, all of that stuff. And basically the job of a plumber, he knows them things and he's brilliant at them things, and that's wonderful. He doesn't know admin. He doesn't, you know, necessarily, or he doesn't want to as well. That's the other thing. Does he want to do that?
Exactly the thing that I find. So, you know, a lot of the people that I do help could actually do the job themselves. It's not that they're not, you know, proficient in those technologies, but actually their time is so much better elsewhere, doing what they're strong at.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where the outsourcing to a VA is, taking those things that, one, you don't know how to do or you don't want to do.
Sure.
Off, you know, outsource those, get them off of your to-do list, and basically thrive and push in your business and do what you do best.
Yeah, exactly that. And yeah, so I think there's a lot to be said for outsourcing. I think it's a really, really good, strong way of working.
Yeah.
And then you're left with the things that you enjoy doing, and
and know that they're being dealt with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if you work closely with someone and you can trust them, and I suppose that is that one of the big aspects of your job?
It is. It's hard, and I get it because I've been there firsthand, having a business where it's your baby, especially if you've created that from the ground up, and you know you love it and you're passionate about it, and to let someone else in and kind of help with your baby, it's hard. But I suppose because I have come from having my own business, I've got that trust from people because they know that I understand the ups and the downs of that side of things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think exactly that. And it is having the empathy with a, you know, self-employed, you know what it is. You know that they're all the roles. You know all of the things that go on. So, it definitely helps.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to have that.
And I think as well, I know I can help people. I just have to be gentle with them to coax them into getting to know me and trust me. So, you know, I like to think I'm quite trustworthy, John.
I would say so. what have we known each other? 6 months-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, about that?
About that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen some of the work you've done with Amanda and a few others. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's really good. And obviously we were talking with Ben earlier, from your video team, and he's interested in having a chat with you. So who knows? You know, and that's the power of networking.
Isn't it? And you know what? I'd say probably 60% of my clients and my business has come via networking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because initially I was like, right, so I'll do a website and I'll do social media, and you do all those things, which I still believe are really key to
you still
have,
need them.
Because when you meet someone, the first thing they do, they want to go and check your social media. They want to look at your Instagram, your Facebook, your LinkedIn.
Yep.
They want to look at your website, check it all out.
Yep.
But actually, not all those don't always convert to actual business.
If you get people go to your website or your socials without speaking to you, then they've ended up there. However, you know, it might be that you've got good SEO and someone's searching, I need a VA in Thanet, or they might have stumbled across it in some other way. But the thing is, they're a cold lead. At that point, they're a cold lead. They're looking at you. They might be looking at a million other people, or they're looking at what's involved in the role or something like that. Mm-hmm. Networking obviously is warmer, so you get the opportunity. Someone says, this is Emma, you need to speak to her because I know that you need a VA or something like that. But that's not the job done. That's not like it's not like handshake, move on. It's like, no, they're still going to check you out. And so if your website and socials aren't up to scratch, that might be a red flag to them.
Yeah, that's it. You still need both. And I think especially maybe with the role that I do as a VA, it's very much built on trust. And like I said, people are kind of letting go of parts of their business and handing it over to you that they need to see you face to face. They need to know that they trust you. They need to kind of put a face to the name and have that interaction.
Yeah. And I would say more people who are self-employed are, I don't know what the word is. I'm very controlling. I wouldn't say I'm very controlling, but I'm to let go is very, very
it's hard. Yeah.
And so, as you say, I've grown this business and I've done this, this and this. And, and it's the same for every self-employed person. They've grown it to that point. And letting go is hard.
Yeah.
And so, and I'd say more self-employed people would be like that because they've built it.
Yeah, that's it.
But also they've had they've had the idea, they've come up with it, with all of it. So they're not the sort of person that wouldn't, do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be said for trusting.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing. Obviously you mentioned your background. And so you've always been a VA or an EA or, in that sort of.
Something A.
Well, but what got you into that sort of role in the first place? What made Emma go, that's like right back at the start? Was there something else that you wanted to do originally?
There was, yeah.
What was that?
So initially I went to college and did my A levels. I've always loved English, so I did A level English literature and language and media studies. And I wanted to get into journalism. So that's what always the goal was, so the media studies and the English for that. And then alongside that, I did secretarial skills just because I quite fancied the idea of learning touch typing and shorthand. And I just thought, well, it's always something that's handy to have in pretty much most jobs you go into.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the backup plan. And then journalism-wise, I think I just realised that in journalism, it's not all nice stuff. You have to sometimes be quite ruthless and pull people down and report on things. And it just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of girl. So I then was just like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could just cover lovely fluffy stories about, puppies and lovely animals and saving
equestrian
things and equestrian
maybe
items. Yeah. Exactly that. But I didn't really, it didn't sit well with me doing anything that wasn't.
You don't see yourself as the next Claire Balding then?
No. So because I had the secretarial skills, I then, a few of my friends, we just all decided to move to London and I literally just then got into admin work and then progressed my way up. So I worked in a headhunters initially. Then I've worked in corporate finance. So I worked on the trading floor. So I've worked in very high pace, busy environments.
High pressure, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm used to juggling a lot. And, as a VA as well, when people have you as a VA, you're just looking after them to them. I've got 13 clients and 13 different systems that they use and all that. So actually being a virtual assistant means you do have to juggle and spin a lot of plates, but that's the environment I think I thrive in best because it's what I've always worked in. Fast-paced, trading floors, headhunters, busy. So I think I'm pretty good at juggling.
Good
Not
stuff.
Physically. If I had some balls, I couldn't juggle the balls, no.
So you couldn't go to the circus then?
No.
Oh.
No, the circus is not for me.
Fair enough. And obviously, that's your overview. Is there anywhere where you want to take Emma next? Is there anywhere? So before we talk about Lumos, is there anything you want to do with you? Is there any future goals?
Well, I don't have New Year's resolutions, but every year I do something that challenges me. So I'm really scared of heights.
Okay.
So each year it tends to be height related to try and get me over the fear.
Are you going to join me on a skydive?
I've done skydive.
Do you want to join me?
Are you doing them?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, 5th of July.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I did it to try and get me over my fear and I raised, I think, £2,000 for Mind.
Nice.
And I went up and I was crying in the plane up.
Okay.
The tears were coming.
I don't mean to laugh, sorry.
This is really helping John, can I just say?
Yes. Sorry,
I've got no issue with heights.
No, I'm just
absolutely excited.
Well, yeah. I was attached to this guy that I'd met for probably about 5 minutes, which I couldn't see his face because he had some, bandana thing over his mouth and a helmet on. So I could literally just see his eyes and I was thinking, do I trust you? I don't know.
Are you even there? Are you even a person?
Are you even real?
It's insane. So... Yeah, I cried on the plane on the way up there. And I thought foolishly that we'd get to the edge and there'd be this whole kind of like little talk about, come on, like you can do this and no. like, I'll count to three and do it. Literally, because the plane has to be at a certain altitude or whatever.
When it got there, they pushed you out.
You're literally on the edge. Go. And he just said, whatever you do, most people faint because they hold their breath.
Right.
So he said, just scream the whole way down. So I literally, the video of me, I am just screaming.
Love that.
The whole
Love
way
that.
Down. It is the most exhilarating thing. I would have got straight back up and done it again.
Oh, wonderful.
So, but it hasn't got me over my fear of heights.
No. Fair enough.
And then last year I did a zip line at 100 miles an hour, the highest, fastest zip line in Wales.
Yeah. Where's that?
That hasn't got me over my fear of heights.
Where's that?
In Wales somewhere.
In Wales. No, it's only a big country, don't worry.
Let's move on. In Wales somewhere. No,
was it north? Oh, you're near Snowdon. Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's what I meant. Is it north or south really? Okay.
We went horse riding the next day up Snowdon. I was like, I am back in my comfort zone.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I've climbed Snowdon, I've tried five times.
Wow.
Got to the top twice and then the other three times. Once got really close to the top and then the weather changed. And then the other two times the weather changed. Like we got to the halfway house a few years ago and we found out my daughter has asthma. Because she was really, really struggling. And all of a sudden this cough came on and everything else. And it was like, what's going on? Like, why are you making it all about you? Stop it.
This is it.
And the only reason we turned round was because I had our youngest, Zachariah, on my back and in one of them frame things. And his lips were started going blue because the weather had changed. And we were like, we need to turn round. And it was like, when we got to the bottom and then Rebecca wouldn't stop like coughing and like really, and she was struggling. And it was like, is there something wrong? And then, so she went to the doctors and then found out she had asthma. And it was madness. Okay. Oh, soz.
Sorry.
But yeah, so love Snowdon.
Well, this year, my friend and I, we're going back and we're climbing Snowdon this year.
Oh, nice.
So I've done Ben Nevis.
I don't think it's called Snowdon anymore.
What's it called?
Whatever the Welsh name for Snowdon is. Yeah, I'm not sure. Whatever the Welsh name for Snowdon is, I think from what I've been told, it's like because I've always called it Snowdon. It's Snowdonia, and it's like so. You know, me mum and dad have got a caravan down not far from there. Mm-hmm. That's why we've been there quite a few times. It's like, apparently they've changed the name. Oh. So there you go.
Well, I'm going to climb that this year, hopefully.
Nice. Yeah. I know that St. Nicholas School are doing the Three Peaks.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So within the 24, the challenge. Mm-hmm. You can climb, is it Ben Nevis, Scarfell Pike and Snowdon within 24 hours. And it's quite grueling. Because obviously you've got the travel in between as well as, you know, and you can't do it slow. Like when we climbed Snowdon, we did it when we got to the top, the first time we did it with my gran and
bless her.
Yeah. And she, you know, so we stopped quite a lot. So it took a long time. But yeah, you'd have to probably do it in 3 or 4 hours, which would be like, that would be some going.
Yeah. No, Ben Nevis took us 8 hours, 4 hours up, four down.
So I don't think they haven't got that time.
No.
So to do that. So fair play to people who do that.
I'm not doing that.
But yeah, we're doing the skydive with Pilgrim's Hospice.
Are you?
So on the 5th of July.
You will love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. So anyone who wants to do it with me, then we are looking. I think there's five or six spaces left.
I might do it.
So
then.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do it and we'll raise money and we'll get them loads of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. So basically it's 40 quid to join to do it. And then you have to promise to raise 400 quid. And so that's doable. So yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Put me down for it. I will do it.
Oh, yes. Look at that. Yeah. You know you said that on the radio,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's recorded. it's making a night.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, you've said it now that you're in. Love that. Okay. So we're going to go to a break and then we'll come back and talk to you about Lumos.
On the Business Networking Show. John Turner on the Business Networking Show.
and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
Okay, so 9 to 5, Dolly Parton. Obviously, that's the tenuous link there to virtual assistant work. Although nothing's 9 to 5 anymore, is it?
No.
I think that's, you know, obviously that was, that, when did that come out? In the 80s, I think?
Yeah, maybe.
80s? 70s, yeah, possibly?
Maybe late 70s, early 80s, yeah. I'm going to say.
But yeah, there you go. So
if you remember the film, some of us might do.
maybe. Okay, so we're going to talk about Lumos now, but Lisa, you're going to take over.
Yeah, when we're talking about virtual support, I don't know whether there's certain stuff you do, you know, more than other stuff. But what's your kind of, I suppose, what's your core offering with that, Emma? So, what do you go out to market with as your basic offer? What kind of support do you offer businesses or people?
I think this was one of the things initially, because a virtual assistant, you cover such a lot of things. So, and because my previous experience, you know, running the business, I could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I can help people with all kinds of different things. But then I was like, do I need to drill down on a certain niche? And I suppose this first year has been finding my feet of, one, what people want from me.
Yeah.
And two, what I really love doing.
Yes, absolutely.
I would say social media is one that I do a lot of that for people.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I love doing is processes, organisation, getting people, you know, quite often their files, their systems, their templates, all of that is just chaotic because it's the last thing they think about. Quite often people open a business and then, you know, everything just will snowball quite quickly and before they know it, 6 months, a year's gone down the line and they haven't put those processes in or they just bumble their way through things.
As we were talking about earlier, you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, and you go into business because you want to do that thing.
Yeah.
Not the other stuff that comes with the business.
You don't want to do the other stuff. Yeah. Exactly that.
So helping people to get super organised is something I love. I am a bit of an organisational freak.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, as you know, the state of my inbox and the state of my social media is okay, but it's again, it's one of those things I think if I actually had time to strategize it, it would be a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I totally get that. As you say, you get into business to pursue your passion. Your passion's probably not clearing out your inbox or, you know, putting a plan together for your social media or, yeah, you know, doing your invoicing or, you know, stuff like that. So I can totally see where you can kind of come in and sort of do that.
Yeah.
Have you found during the course of, you know, the last year or so, there are patterns, you know, what's kind of most in demand when people are asking for your services or your help?
I would say social media is because quite often, even if people know, I mean, it's not rocket science to post, is it? Or that kind of stuff. Algorithms change all the time.
Of course.
I suppose it's having someone that maybe can keep up with current trends and things
definitely.
Like that, which again is just another job as a business owner. You just think, I haven't got time for that.
It's the time.
But it is the time.
It is the
time. To be consistent, and you have to be consistent. It's the time. So just taking that off of people's plates, I think, has been one of the biggest things where they just think, oh, God, I haven't got to think about content or, you know, what pictures I'm putting up with that or what hashtags I've got to find that go with that or, you know.
And I also think, you know, it's as a business owner who feels that they have to do it every day, I think, you know, I look at trends sometimes and it says, okay, so your users are most active at this point. And I think, well, I just got to do it when sometimes I just sort of do it when I can do it, when I have time, for instance. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, it takes someone to maybe put a bit of an infrastructure together and schedule posts and do
schedule
things like that.
And do it when your audience are online.
Exactly.
And it's all that kind of thing that just, and I've been there. You're juggling what's more important. It's like your staff need to be paid. So that's more important than putting a social media post on.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you need to do your self-assessment. That's more important than putting a social media post on. So I think quite often people will put that to the bottom or, you know, organising your files or putting processes in. It's like, oh, I'll do that in January. Oh, January's actually been busier than I thought. So I'll do it in February. And it just rolls on. And that is just how life is, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
of course it is.
When you've got someone that is actually kind of there, you know, I meet people, I will have a kind of discovery call with them to see what they need help with. I still like to go and meet people face to face if I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though I am a virtual assistant, and my husband does say, you go to a lot of face to face meetings for someone that's virtual. But because I still believe in that being in front of someone
100%.
Initially
to,
you know, I want to understand their business. I thrive off of helping my clients succeed in their businesses. So I want to know what makes them tick, and I want to see their business plans and ideas, and
absolutely.
So that I can get behind it and feel passionate for them too. So meeting people face to face is important for me to go and have that initial chat, find out where their business is currently, where they want to grow it to, or if they don't want to grow and they're happy with where they are, but they just want more systems in place. And then I'll work out what they need and then advise them accordingly.
Sounds wonderful. I completely agree. Being virtual doesn't mean that you have to cut out the face-to-face.
No.
And I think having that initial chat with somebody just means that you capture all of their requirements in one go, and you're not experiencing this sort of back and forth while you slowly sort of find out what it is that they want. I think
being virtual means you're going to do the job virtually.
Yes, exactly.
It's like not necessarily meet the client or not necessarily have a chat about an update or a report or something like that, because you've done 3-6 months or whatever, you know. And obviously then there's all the other stuff. Then there's the networking. Then there's the, you know, you're getting out and talking to people on a regular basis because you need to. The work, like the stuff that people want you to do and they pay you to do, that's done virtually.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between the two things, isn't it? So,
and I think as well, you know, most of the businesses that I help and the clients that I work with don't like admin. That is the crux of it. They don't like it. So why on earth would I send them 10 emails about something that they're just junking up their inbox that they don't want to read, they don't want to reply to, because they don't like doing admin. You know, for me to go and sit with them and just go, right, brain dump onto me, and then I'll go away, I'll make it all happen, and then I'll come back and tell you what's happened.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that just, it works, because people don't want another 10 emails or a spreadsheet that's sent over with all lists on it. You know, that's the whole point of having me.
It's also making sure that, you know, there's understanding and there's clarity, which again is, you know, you can achieve on email, but it's much easier to have a chat, pick up the phone, you know, and just kind of make sure that you've understood each other, and the brief is captured from from the beginning, isn't it?
And that is really important as well to understand, because I think, you know, when I've worked in environments where I'm working alongside managing directors as an EA, you're there with that person day in, day out. So you, just being in the office, you understand the business and what's going on and the meetings that they're in. So when you're then virtual, you do feel a little bit away from those business owners. So for me, it's really important to still have that time with them to understand their business and understand their passions and their feelings. And
100%. And I can so see the value of that. And it just, it cuts out a lot of the guesswork and the, you know, the back and forth, and allows you to get on and do your job. Clients get to a point sometimes, possibly, you know, too far over where they need to be, when they, when they're feeling really overwhelmed and they think to themselves, okay, I need to hire someone. In your experience, is there a particular kind of moment a business knows that it needs that support? When do you often find that, you know, it's gone way too far and you maybe come into a little bit of a mess, you know, when you're talking to clients?
Yeah, I would say most people probably leave it too late.
Yeah.
Because that's just the natural instinct.
Of course.
You feel, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's your baby. You feel like you can do everything, and you then maybe punish yourself a little bit by saying, why am I failing? Because I can't do all of this. And it's absolutely not failure, because there's so many elements to running a business that actually you just need to focus on the strengths and the things that you're really good at, and do that, and then outsource everything else. So quite often people will come too late. You know, their to-do list is too long. Their inboxes are overflowing. They're working weekends and working evenings trying to keep up with things. And when they get to that point, they're like, oh, okay, maybe I need a VA. Where in truth, they probably should have come a few months before that, before it gets
when,
to
when
that.
They start thinking about them things is, you know, not when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's it. And I think anything, like I've said before, for me, we're only here for a short time in this life. And if people are sacrificing time with their family to do business work, I just think, you know, that's got to change. Outsource it. It's not a huge expense to outsource admin work to a VA. And, you know, get your evenings back with your family. Get your weekends to go to football matches with your kids.
That's priceless, isn't it?
That's it. You won't get that time back. So,
do you think that's a big misconception, is that it's going to cost them a fortune and that's why they don't want to do it, as well as the kind of maybe the control sort of part of it?
Yeah, I definitely think it's kind of a mix of the two. It's the control that people don't want to let go, or potentially feel that they may have failed if they have to let go of things.
Yeah.
And secondly, oh, it's another cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. But actually, I think it costs you more having to do those things yourself in your time, when actually you could be making way more money in your business than what you're paying.
I think it's really difficult for people to see the wood for the trees with that one, because obviously it's physical money going out of their bank, whereas it's not physical money.
When it's your time.
Indirectly, it's like it's your time, therefore it's free. Obviously it's not. But at the same time, you could be making money with that time. It's like could is quite a big word. You know, have you got is everything in place for you to actually be getting more work in through the door, or, you know, are you just going to be twiddling your thumbs and then paying someone else to do it? And so I do totally get that, but you can't have that mindset. You've got to get past that mindset. You've got to get into the mindset of actually let someone who knows what they're doing do it, and you can carry on with the stuff that you love doing and actually grow in your business. Do you want to grow it? Do you want it in more? And it's, for me, it's a no-brainer.
And I think the thing is as well, maybe people see it the same as, so if you've got a business and you employ a PA or a member of the team, you've got to go through signing them up, training them how to do it, providing them with a PC, providing them with a phone, doing all of this, and then you've got to pay a sick pay, holiday pay. Like, all of that gets taken away when you've got a VA. You know, you don't pay any kind of sick pay. You don't have to provide computers, all of that stuff. And actually, if you find, I mean, you can have a retainer where you have a certain amount of hours per month, and then you know exactly X amount is going out money-wise for this amount of hours. Or some clients will just have a big project that comes up and say, right, in July, I'm going to need you for 10 hours around this week. And then I won't need you again until October when my other big project goes.
Yeah.
So you can, with a VA, pick and choose a bit more and plan through your calendar of when your peaks and troughs are.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a commitment that you think, oh, God, I know in the summer I take the whole summer off with my children and I don't want to be paying out a salary to someone. That,
no.
Well, you don't have to with a VA. You know, that's the luxury of it, that it can kind of fluctuate, I suppose, with your business.
And absolutely. It moves with As you say, some seasonal businesses will physically close.
Mm.
And it's like, well, you can't, don't know the legislation around like contracts for people who, I don't think there's going to be too many people who will be happy to take a 7 month job and they'd be, or, you know, 7 or 8 months and then be closed for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, that's like, it. But with my kind of work as a VA, that is exactly it.
Yeah.
So I can plan in through the year with my clients of when they're going to need me.
Mm.
I mean, over half of the clients that I have are on monthly retainers because they know the hours they want regular work done and they know the cost that it is.
Yeah.
The others dip in and out. You know, I've got clients that go on holiday and then I do their phone services. So they divert all their phones for their business. I take all of their bookings and they just know that all their phones are being looked after, and their bookings are still being in whilst they're on holiday. You know, it's so flexible with the help that you can give people. So,
no, and it gives them that reassurance that the business is being looked after.
Mm-hmm.
I think at all businesses, whether they're, you know, how whether they have seasonality or not built in, will just fluctuate in terms of their, you know, in terms of their peaks and troughs. So again, it's useful to have that monthly, you know, option of, you know, have that flexibility so that they can use you as much as they need you. And then as their business matures, you kind of get to know those periods and those, you know, those peaks and troughs. So, you know, I think the flexibility is such a huge thing for you to, I guess, promote, which you obviously already do. But I think, you know, people need to kind of see the benefit of having that flexibility that they won't get if they have to worry about taking someone on full-time, part-time.
Yeah.
And then even then, you know, what does that still has to be fairly fixed, doesn't it, in terms of the hours. So I can totally see like how flexible that flexible approach would really help, particularly, you know, small business owners and solo entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. In your, on your site, and when you talk about your services, you also talk about event planning. Is that a big part of your business? Is that something you have particular experience in? Is it something you really enjoy doing?
That's exactly what it is. Something that I love doing.
Yeah.
I've always been a bit of a party gal, so I do love a good party.
Me too.
I love a good wedding. There's nothing better than a good wedding. And what I've realised is everything that I go to, I just think, oh, see, no, I would have done that table. I would have done that balloon arch. So I think that the thing for me is it's a passion because I know what can look really amazing at events.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also in my career, I've organised lots of events. I've done corporate events when we had the salon, organised carnivals, you know, all different kinds of things. So that is something that I run alongside. It's a service I offer. But to be honest, it's not a massive part of Lumos.
It's just a bit of a passion project.
It's a passion, yeah. So if someone says, you know, I've got an 80th birthday party and I need it to be organised, the venue, the decoration of it, you know, I would do all of that. Corporate events, if people need those done, I do that. I've done weddings, full weddings and stuff because I love it.
I love it. Great.
But I didn't want to, when I sat in Thailand on the beach for 2 weeks, event planning is what I was thinking of doing as full-time.
Oh, right, okay.
And I then realised that actually that doesn't give me the work-life balance that I was looking at because events are always evenings
and
weekends.
And it's all-consuming, isn't it, when you're running events?
Well, I'm a control freak as well, so it's not something that I could think... Laugh at me, John.
Sorry.
It's not something that I could then just go, oh, that's happening at the weekend, and send someone else to cover it.
I'd want to be there
headset on and my clipboard, just making sure everything was,
Definitely. So I've got an event on the 26th of June. We're going to be launching the East Kent Business Show.
Yes,
I heard. So I need to chat to you about that.
Absolutely, I'd love to help.
Because, the idea behind it is that I want to do... East Kent often gets forgotten about a lot. You know, there's a load of things go on at Detling. There's loads of stuff go on in Ashford, Canterbury, even to a certain extent. But it's like you go east of Canterbury and there's nothing. Yeah. All right, that's not that far. But and also a lot of people say, oh yeah, but three quarters of the, you know, the circumference is water. Right? Okay. You've still got to, you know, do stuff for them people. Yeah. Why should they have to travel half an hour, 40 minutes to get anywhere? Mm-hmm. So we're doing it at the Riverside in Whitstable. And that's
a lovely venue.
We think for East Kent that's quite central. It's probably a lot less time to get to Detling or Ashford. Mm. And so a good opportunity to really put it out there. And I'm not interested in doing one of these rubbish ones that nobody turns up to. It needs to get people through the door. So I need people on board.
Absolutely. Count me in.
Love it. Yes.
With my headset and my clipboard,
yes,
please.
Like that. Whenever you say, you've said that twice now, and what I think when you say that is American football. So in American football, the guy that runs it all, I don't know whether he's a manager or a coach or...
Oh, yes, yeah.
You always see, like, there's a bloke with it, a massive headset on, and he's got a clipboard, and he's doing, like, all the plays and...
I was thinking more Britney Spears headset, you know.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, yeah. Either way, yeah, all good.
Oh, yeah, because he's just sort of, you know, talking like that into your headset. Berating someone if they're not, you know,
exactly
something's
that.
Not arrived
someone
or something's
moved that
like
vase.
That.
It's yeah. not quite the right angle.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Hit me, baby, one more. No, not that.
Not that one. No. Ain't more like Devil Wears Prada type,
yes,
you know, that sort of thing.
That Lisa. Yes. That is exactly
smashed
what I'm going
it.
For.
I'm very excited about the sequel, by the way.
I heard that was
one
coming
of my
out.
Favorite films.
It was a long time in waiting, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Considering. It came out 15, 20 years ago?
Goodness, don't say that.
Probably was about that, wasn't it?
Not be that long ago, John.
No, it was last week, so.
Yes, exactly. We're not that old. Is it kind of corporate events? As you say, like weddings, birthdays? Is there one particular thing or is it kind of, you know, all-encompassing? Is there something that you particularly love in terms of event planning?
I think the thing is with event planning, it essentially just brings together everything that a VA is about, which is organisation, spreadsheets, you know, getting suppliers, bringing everyone together and kind of orchestrating that, bringing people together to have it organised. So that just ticks every box for me because I love to organise. And then I like things to look aesthetically lovely. So it's a kind of, I think, birthday parties and things like that and weddings, those kind of events I love. But then I've done loads of corporate stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I love that. Even down to doing the goodie bags and making the tables look nice for that, because I think quite often when it comes to corporate things, everyone just goes all a bit formal, but it still needs to be...
It could be a bit dry, can't it? Yeah. I think, you know, business people like to feel that sense of personalisation as well and feeling like, you know, feeling a bit of love from the organisers. I think, you know, you always, I think some really good takeaways from corporate events, like just something
tangible,
super small that reminds you that you've been to the event and a follow-up and things like that. I think follow-up is so important when you're, running events.
The thing is, we live in a world, which I know, you know, a lot of my clients, probably the whole reason they have me for the social media thing is because they don't want to do it. But when you're at those events and people have got stuff, they will use it for content. They'll take pictures, they'll put it on their socials. So already, if you're running that event, you are being marketed by everyone in the room because you've made things look aesthetically pleasing.
Absolutely.
Or given a little goodie bag or something with the logo of the business or whatever it is, then that really gets people kind of, doing your marketing for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
true. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Emma. We're going to go to a break and then we'll be back to talk a little bit about one of our favourite subjects, John, which is networking.
No, not networking, surely. No. Oh, networking. Okay,
yeah, true story.
People living like they ain't got no mamas. the whole world addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying. Children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Same, always new change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really, what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying. Children hurting, you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach, and what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us.
Feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
Father, 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 help us. Send
some guidance from above. These people got me
questioning. Where is the love?
Sing with me, y'all.
One word, one word. We only got one word, one word. That's all we got. One word, one word. And something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with the good word, word. Yeah. We only got one word, one word. That's all we got. One word.
On the Business Networking Show.
Want to grow?
Okay, so where is the love? Well, there's lots of love in here. Do you love that? Do you love that? No, to be fair, it's yeah, I love that song. To be fair, but yeah, there is a lot of love going on in here. Emma, you're an amazing VA, and yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. So yeah, crack on. We've got some shout outs.
We have got some shout outs. Let me see here. Oh, been busy in there. I see Michelle. God love her. Michelle from
MP Environmental.
MP Environmental, good God. who is in the Gambia at the moment, but still managing to do some networking, bless her, and get some business. So she's on holiday, but she's managed to get herself a conversation with the headmaster at a school over there about potentially helping them to repair their library roof. So not even really her day job. She's getting into the community by the sounds of it.
Doesn't she do roofing?
Well, maybe she does.
Maybe.
Another string to her bow. But yeah, she's been doing some networking with local companies out there. So go on, Michelle.
Crack on.
For someone who's maintained that she's not keen on networking, or never used to be anyway, she's taken it to it like a duck.
She said she's been networking with red Columbus monkeys. I'm not sure.
Well, a bit of a one-way conversation there, but I would have thought. But, you know, you never know. Yeah. And hooded vultures, yeah, no yeah. less. And then we've got Kenny from Slate IT. Slate provide IT, AV and security solutions to suit you, helping your business to flourish. Next up, we've got Chad from Miyamura. There's an offer to get 20% off all of their amazing Korean skincare products. That you can buy for yourself or your friends and family can also buy. There's a one-off joining fee from £40 if you want to join the business. The website is superbizfromhome.co.uk.
Yep.
And then who else have we got last but not least? Because we've got a few more. We've got Fiona from East Kent First Aid, who's running an emergency first aid at work course. They've got a few spots left, taking place on the 10th of February, 10 to 4:30 at Manston Business Park. You should contact Kent Medical Education to book. We've got Fran from FS Maths, who is providing maths tuition, promoting progress and confidence over perfection. And then we've got Jen from Wave Community Bank, who have recently launched their reward system. It's very simple and easy to sign up, and there's some fantastic discounts on there.
Similar to a Blue Light card.
Yeah, very similar to a Blue Light card. So anyone who is either saving or using Wave in any way is eligible for
it's only sign-up. It's only £6 to join as well. So you put in £6, you get a card, and then you can start saving, I think, things like 9% at Greg's. Which is
in itself is a reason to join, isn't it?
That has piqued my interest, I've got to say.
He's easily hooked.
Yeah, that's it. John loves a good sausage roll.
I love it. Loving your work. Excellent. Keep the shout outs coming in and we will get you on air. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about networking because that's how we met Emma, as well as met each other. Emma, you've had a little bit of experience of networking. I know you maybe had some hesitation or some, shall we say, reluctance, you know, maybe about networking. What was it that you were maybe a little bit fearful of? And has that been dispelled a bit for you? Or how are you feeling about it now you've done a little bit of networking?
So initially, I wanted to avoid it like the plague. And this is nothing to do with what I've now seen in networking as it is today. It was based on pre-opening the salon and going to a networking group every week and the having to be there every week and having to do referrals, and it just felt very intense.
Mm.
And I also didn't feel particularly confident. That one was full of men. I think I was the only female in the room.
Mm.
And I just felt, I don't know, I did everything to try and avoid going because I didn't like standing up and talking. I felt really uncomfortable doing that.
Yep.
It's not my strongest point. And I didn't like the whole setup of it. So I think that just tainted me a little bit.
Mm.
Then obviously when I've come sort of 20 years later back around to having my business now, I was like, I need to get to networking and talking to people again. Yep. So I literally went online, found you guys, and I thought, great, I can do an online one, which takes me out of that having to stand up in front of a room of talking. So that was the first thing that ticked a massive box for me, that I could just do it at home and have my little meltdown, then come on screen and then turn the screen off if I needed to,
absolutely.
Have a little meltdown and then come back again, because that was just how I needed to get through networking.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realised that you're actually all really lovely and I'm just being a complete wally. So
absolutely not.
There we go. Yeah,
absolutely not. And there's a lot to be said. Obviously, when I first set up SBC, the whole premise of it was that there is lots of different types of groups, and I wanted to set up another type of group that was more aimed at support, more aimed at helping people and being in that situation. And one of the things that I was very adamant about was actually it's not going to be stressful to be in the room because there's so many people. I've come across, you know, I've been networking now for probably about 15 years and so I've done a lot of meetings and I'm very lucky. I love people and I the more people the better for me, but that's me. And I know a lot of people who struggle in large groups. They struggle with standing up in front of people and talking. They, you know, and it, that's fine. It's everyone's got strengths and everyone's got weaknesses, and it's so it's not a good or a bad thing to have any of them things. And actually, you shouldn't feel excluded, because the only way is groups where you have to go along and you have to do this and you have to do that. And so, well, no, you don't have to do anything. It's your business. You do it your way. And that was always in the back of my mind. I've been to many different types of groups where that's the case. And you think, why do we have to do it your way? Mm. And it was, no, we'll do it. Everyone can do it their own way. And if you want to attend one meeting a month, okay. If you want to attend one or two meetings a week, okay. It, you know, whatever's available, the opportunity is there and you can build from that. And but whilst you're in the room, we will make you feel welcome and you don't have to stand up. And yeah, it's...
I think that's what I've noticed, the difference for me. And also when you're just setting up a business, you know you need to do the networking to get the contacts and get your name out there and your face in front of people and all of those things. But you're also kind of trying to run and do all the other things and get it set up and do the work. And, you know, so you know you've got to do the networking. But for me as well, that online option just made it really easy, being a virtual assistant, that I could be doing my work, log on to that from home, then go back to my work. And then another week, actually come and see people face to face, because I do think it's important, like we said earlier, to be in front of people.
Definitely.
I think it's a nice entry level as well, isn't it? It's just, you know, maybe a bit more comfortable for some people to just...
Takes that initial nerves away.
Dip your toe in, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So. But the, in my, like I say, in my opinion, it's better to support people than it is to try and force... like rigidity on everyone and saying, no, well, actually, no, that's not for everyone. It is for some people.
Yeah.
You know, some people want and need that, and they need that structure in their lives, and that's absolutely fine. And that's not right or wrong. Again, it is that it works for that person. It doesn't necessarily work for people like yourself. So, you know, that wasn't for you, but that's why there needs to be choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might be okay with both. And so the choice for them is they can do both.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, whatever you want,
it's a good structure, definitely. It's good to have all the options.
It doesn't need to be rigid. It doesn't need to be, you know, set. I think what we've found, you know, as we've been going along with SBC is like, that, you know, that little bit of structure has been really welcomed. And really just, I think all it does is help people kind of know where they are and, you know, what's expected of them. But within that, it's pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
It's you talk about what you want.
For the first couple of years, like, so now we've got the slides and so everyone gets their 3 minutes and the slides sort of manage that the time, because that was one of my weaknesses. I wasn't able to tell people to shut up. And so... You'd have some people who would take the mic and they would, you know, they really would sort of be going 4, 5, 6 minutes and you'd be like, and I'm sat there because the conversation's flowing and it's really nice and it's lovely and it's brilliant. And I'm sat there inside and I'm starting to get more and more squirmy and twitchy and I'm sort of trying to make them see that I'm not okay. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
And it's like, but, and so that any opportunity where they take a breath, it's like, oh, thank you very much, you know, and then move on. But the thing is with that, is it didn't work, you know, and then we did have some meetings that would go 20 minutes over and things, and you think, that's not good. That's not professional. So then we brought in the slides. So the little bit of structure that we've got is just mainly for timekeeping, you know, just to make sure we get through everyone and everyone gets a fair shot.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it the structure sort of looks after itself.
Yeah.
Because the people in the room 99% of the people who come along are there to be supportive and there to listen and ask a question where needed. And obviously when their moment comes, they tell people what's been going on in their world. So, yeah, I think that it's, for me, I may be biased, but I think we're the best. And actually it says it on our roll banners that we are simply the best. So, it must be true.
So it's true. It's absolutely true. Is it something that you think, how important do you see it in your kind of business and how your business is going forward? Do you think it's something that you'll continue to do?
Absolutely. Yeah, I will. Because initially when I found you guys, it was right at the beginning of my Lumos journey.
Yes.
And I knew I needed to do it, but it's something that has just always been a real thing for me. But now I just feel like I was, like I say, a bit silly because everyone's so lovely, so supportive. And it's a whole room full of people that are in the same situation of, you know, they're all business owners that want to help. So I don't know why I had this kind of blockage of going, oh, well, everyone's going to judge me if I stand up and say something wrong.
Because of previous experience.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in a situation where that wasn't the case and it was very much dog eat dog situation and you didn't like that. Which is fair enough.
I suppose then that's just carried through.
So then you've not thought about it in a different way. You've not tried a different one because you assumed they were all the same.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, and we were talking about myth busting, there's a lot of people out there that think the only way of networking is like that.
Is that way.
And it's like, well, no, actually, there's quite a lot of groups out there that are supportive and they're about the people in the room rather than it being about, you know.
It's so supportive though, because even like in the WhatsApp group, if someone's going through something personally, not necessarily business related. When I'm in the WhatsApp group and you just see that everyone rallies around to help that person, it's a really lovely community that's been built.
Exactly
actually.
That. And that's exactly what it is. Mm. You know, and that but I mean, like say I'm in groups with other organizations and you see the same sort of, if they get the model right and if the people in the room are the right sort of people, then it works.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yes, we are the best, but, of you course. Know, obviously. But there are other brilliant groups out there. And so, yeah, I think people need to realise that it's not, if you have a bad experience, give another organisation or another group, even within the same organisation. I've heard many, many people say, that one wasn't very good, but that one was really supportive. And it's like, they're from the same, theoretically, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. It's a bit like going to a restaurant, isn't it? And then just saying, well, that meal was terrible and then never eating in a restaurant again.
Yeah.
So you've got to go and try other places because not everyone will be the same. So
not everything will be your cup of tea. It's about those relationships that you build and that takes time and a bit of exploration, you know, to kind of find your tribe, as it were.
Yeah, that's it. You know. Your people.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think... Oh, again, bias, but I would say, yeah. Okay, the more you go, the more you turn out, the more you talk to people, the more you get out of it, and it just becomes a really nice experience.
That's exactly it. You know, the people who do best out of networking are the people who are seen.
Yeah.
And that, you know, some of them people are, you know, they can waffle on about the same thing every week, and all right, that's not a good thing to do. But if you're present, and if you're being seen all the time, and if you try and mix it up a bit, and you bring value to the room as well, that is so important to bring value to the room. You know, if there's people in the room who need your support, just give it.
Yeah,
you know, a bit of support or a bit of guidance doesn't cost anything. You know, just giving someone a bit of advice, it's good to do.
Yeah, definitely, and it's, you know, don't go in all guns blazing is my advice. It's like, it's very much what you said. It's like, get a feel for the room, you know, talk when you're talking about what you do, you know, you can just have a very relaxed approach to it. If you can help somebody, help somebody. If you can give them advice. And then the rest will just come. You know, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as well.
Yeah.
To kind of get everything that we do across in like a couple of minutes or make it, you know, make a big impression. But you don't need to do that in one meeting in 2 to 3 minutes. It, you know, you can do it over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going with the attitude of, I'm just gonna have a couple of chats and see what happens.
That's it.
And I think that comes across as well. I think, you know, going in sort of, you know, going all guns blazing and, you know, dishing out business cards. Like,
oh, they're the best. No, they're the best. The people who are like fanning their cards out to everyone. And you think, I've never been speaking to you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you've just told me your name and give me a card. All right, thanks. Not the way to do it.
No, I agree. So we're going to talk a little bit, I think, after the break about some tools and tricks of the trade with you. And then lastly, we're going to get into a bit about yourself and your passions outside work and things like that. But, yeah, should we go to a song next? I can see what song's coming up, and I think had a bit of a listen to this morning, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. There's an advert before it, but this is my jam. And every now and again it comes up, and it's like, and we heard it this morning, a little bit of it this morning. I was like, yeah, that's my jam. And so if Claire's listening, she'll know exactly what song's coming because it's about me. It's like, so yeah.
I want to know now.
So, but yeah, no,
all will become clear.
Yeah, you'll hear in a minute and then you'll see. But no, off to a break.
Your business and position yourself as an industry expert.
Introducing SBC Magazine, the digital magazine packed with expert advice, insider tips, and valuable content written by industry professionals like you.
By writing an advertorial, you can showcase your knowledge, share insights on industry challenges, and highlight why your services are the solution. It's not just an ad. It's a powerful way to connect with potential clients and build trust.
Educate, engage, and elevate your business.
A product brought to you by Simply Business Club. Check out our recent editions on the Simply Business Club website. SBC Magazine, where experts shine and businesses grow.
Call me by my name.
And we're back. That's My Jam, by the way.
It's a good song.
I love that song.
It's a banger.
I am the one and only that the world wouldn't be able to do two of me. Yeah, so
excellent.
We're back and we've got a few things to talk about.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk a little bit about kind of tools and tricks of the trade, you know, when you become a VA or when, you know, that's part of your job, because you're obviously a highly organised person. I think, you know, all of us could potentially learn a lot from you with regards to how you keep on top of things, how you keep your clients on top of things as well, because I've worked with clients as well, and sometimes it's about kind of managing upwards when it comes to getting them organised and getting them into a system that's working for both of you. What tools or technologies or kind of, you know, product systems do you find indispensable when you're supporting clients remotely? And do you have certain, you know, preferred programs that you like to use?
Yes, I think like you just said, it's the nature of the work that I do is organising people.
Yeah.
And quite often organising people that are running multiple businesses that are very busy. So it's really important to get the communication and the organisation mm-hmm. right from the beginning. Yeah. I am just a lover of Trello. I think everybody needs to have a Trello board in their life.
Love Trello. Yes.
It just, for me, my brain works in lists and the cards that you have on there. So if anyone doesn't have Trello, absolutely, you can get a free version. Just get that and start brain dumping.
I don't think, as we were talking about a minute ago, I don't think you actually need more than the free version.
No.
It's such a good piece of software that you can use, and it really does help.
Yeah. Then that's, you know, then my clients will have Trello as well. So then I can see their boards.
Mm.
And some may like it, some may not like it, but I can see their boards. So I can then chase them up on things.
Yeah,
but it
absolutely.
Just means that actually when you're virtual and you're not sat with that person day in, day out, there's still that, you know, I'm able to prompt them and remind them of things that maybe they've forgotten to tell me, but they've put it on their Trello board or, you know, that kind of thing. So I definitely would say that is a must. I love Trello. The other thing, obviously, Meta Business Suite for your scheduling. It's just simple.
Yeah.
That's another big one. I think those are probably my two main favourite ones.
Would you typically share calendars and things like that so you can get an insight into, I guess, their day to day? Do you get that deep into your support?
Yeah, people will share. Not everyone, because it depends what kind of work I'm doing for them. And also, some people have various different types of calendars and organisation already in their life. So they might use their phone calendar for something and then have a paper one for booking client mm-hmm. appointments, you know, if it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
A hairdresser or something like
for
that.
Sure.
So, you know, not all of them can share all of their appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely that is, you know, an aspect that I do as well.
And then wonder when we're thinking about if you're talking to a client, what are some of the most common things? We talked about it a little bit, but if you were to say to a client, right, here's some quick wins. This is what you can give to me pretty much immediately, and I can just kind of take it as it is, and I'll make it better. What are the most kind of common things that you think that are relatively easy for you to take over and just improve in terms of efficiency?
So instantly, I would say going in and taking onboarding processes, because mm-hmm. quite often people don't have that, but it's actually really vital for every business, really. However you're onboarding people and dealing with that process, I think sometimes it just gets left to the bottom of the pile when actually that's something I can come in and take on very quickly to put processes in, organise files, have the processes there, put automation in place that it happens, you know. That's
when you say onboarding, are you talking about customers or are you talking about staff or are you talking about both?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. So quite often onboarding anyone into your business, whether that's someone that's coming to work for you or a client, there will be a process that is followed. And a lot of people don't actually then think, well, I don't have an onboarding process. Well, you do. There's something you do with every client that you have or every person. But what you're saying is you don't have a process for it. You just automatically do it.
And you're doing it manually, probably.
But you're doing it manually. Mm. And actually that's something that I can come along, put process in, put automation in, and it's done. And it's just a quick whim.
Yeah.
Then social media.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is the biggest bugbear for most businesses these days
mm-hmm.
is the amount of time it takes to do it,
yeah,
to think of it, to schedule it, to do it, so I can just literally go in and just take that whole thing off of their plate. And I think, well,
I've heard a lot of people are scared of Meta as well. So yeah, they, you know, the Meta Business Suite, mm-hmm, because, you know, they've maybe had a quick look at it and gone, oh no, that's not a bit of me, mm-hmm, you know, and they're worried about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, rightly or wrongly, that isn't, it's not that scary of a platform to use.
No.
But I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, we're saying if you're a plumber, you're very good at plumbing, but Meta Business Suite, you look at it and go, oh God, that's going to take forever to get my head around it. But actually, you know, that's something that I use day in, day out, and is a quick, easy win for me to take someone's social media, put it in there, schedule a month's worth of social media for them, and then for a month they're just like, oh,
I'm just saying, don't have to worry about it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think people can be instantly, I remember trying to schedule something on my social media, and for whatever reason it didn't work on one of the platforms, and I did that thing which you should never do, and we talk about it all the time, I just go, oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's rubbish. Yeah, exactly. So I'll just, you know.
Clearly the software's fault.
I did it this morning and I tried to schedule something and it said, oh, because you're sharing to Facebook, you can't schedule. And I thought I was doing it from Instagram, but I probably should just do it from the Meta Business
Suite.
Absolutely,
yeah.
But yeah, it's knowing that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know, as we've all said. So it's knowing that and understanding that. But it takes a little bit of education goes a long way with things like that. But as she said, I mean, I know the amount of mental labour that you put into trying to schedule your social media and keep coming up with things is exhausting. So,
yeah, that's the biggest bit, is trying to come up with content that is unique or at least something that's just not the same drivel. And also not selling. You know, a lot of people just think the only thing they need to talk about is
their services.
I sell this, I sell that, I sell the other. Who cares?
No
one cares.
Bit like networking, isn't it?
Yeah, this is it. It's like, you know, or you're on Facebook and you say, do you know what? I was at this job the other day and I was fixing this boiler. And if you've got this problem with this boiler, this is how you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, oh. And then all of a sudden, the problem with their boiler is they've got the same boiler. And all of a sudden, it's a different problem.
Mm.
Oh, well, I don't know what to do with that. It's not that problem. Oh, I'll give this guy a call then.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't selling. He was giving them a bit of advice. And all of a sudden he's got a sale out of it.
And I think at the moment as well, like a lot of people get a bit too hung up on how many likes a post gets or that kind of stuff. But Facebook and that, it's changed so much over the years.
Yeah.
That actually it's all down to like, now it's how much time people spend hovering over images and kind of reading through the content. It's not necessarily people aren't liking things or commenting on them all the time.
Yeah.
But then you go to your professional dashboard and you'll see that 29,000 people are seeing your post. You know, there's 29,000 people are seeing your post.
Yeah.
You may have 150 likes on your page and one person has liked the actual post, but 29,000 people are seeing it. So it's about looking at the analytics in the correct way as well. Mm-hmm. Because
it's like LinkedIn as well, where I had posts a while back where the algorithm liked what I was doing and I was getting posts over 100,000 views.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, brilliant. And then they changed their algorithms.
The next week.
And I was doing the same thing and all of a sudden I was getting 500 to 1,000 views.
I'm like, oh. Okay,
thanks. Great. I'm clearly no longer any good at anything.
Yeah. Not in the favourite list anymore.
Exactly. But that was just because they just changed their algorithm and that was it.
All the time.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, I think, you know, as business owners, you need to kind of get your head around that as well, that it does change all the time. But the most important thing is being consistent and, like you say, giving advice and help, not just being salesy this is what I offer. This is what I offer. This is the offer I've got on next week. It's about giving quality information out to people.
Is it also fair to say, so going back to obviously meeting someone at networking or meeting someone, however, and that person, so you said about needing a website, needing social media to look good. It's also the content that you put out on the social media just needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so how important is it for it to be? Because how often do you go to someone's Facebook page, LinkedIn page, or you know, whichever platform, and they haven't posted in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, however long. And then you think, oh,
okay.
You don't care.
Or are they still going?
Or you don't exist anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, there aren't any positive thoughts.
No.
When it comes to that, it's like, you know, it's all negative. It's all like, oh, you don't exist anymore, or you can't be bothered to post stuff anymore. And so, you know, and then the connotation of that is that, well, if you can't be bothered to post about your own business, how are you going to treat mine?
Yeah.
And,
you know, I think as well, you know, a lot of people will then say, well, it's because I'm so busy that I don't need to have a presence, because I'm so busy I don't need to have more clients or more people. But actually, you know, I don't know, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Are really, really popular.
Everyone knows Coca-Cola, yeah.
But if you went on their social media, they'd still be there and still be current.
Yeah,
and, you know,
Yeah.
All these massive companies.
I might start singing, holidays are coming. How do I get Christmas into every conversation?
It's a skill. It really is.
But as we know, I'm a Diet Coke fiend.
It wasn't me that said Coke, to be fair.
Yeah, Coke
was
doing really well Emma, out today's she podcast. Did it. They're not sponsoring us, guys.
They can send us Coke if they want.
You know.
Coca-Cola, that is. Sorry, Coca-Cola. Not
Diet Coke.
Any version of Coca-Cola is fine.
Yes.
Guys, Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Clarify. Yeah, they recognise the importance of consistency in branding.
Yeah, that's
you know,
it.
And if they recognise it, why do you think that, you know, you solo business don't need to bother?
Yeah, they spend billions every year on on, you know, fridges and, you know, the mats on the bars and the glasses and everything else. They spend millions on POS because they have to, because they want to be the name. They want to be the name that you know. You walk into a shop and you say, "Oh, can I have a can of Coke?" And oh, we don't sell Coke, we sell Pepsi. And he's like, what? Yeah, you know, it's the same thing. It, you know, obviously.
It's not the same.
Let me speak, would you people? It's the same thing. You have a difference in taste and you prefer Coca-Cola to Pepsi, but it is the same thing. It's just, you know, it's like saying lemonade, Sprite and 7-Up are the same thing. They are the same thing. They taste different, but they're the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is the same. You know, you might have a preferred curry house or whatever your taste is. You prefer one or the other. That's fine. And so I agree with you. I prefer Coca-Cola. I'm going to keep saying Coca-Cola, not Coke. but yeah, I agree with you. But I'll walk into a shop and I'll be like, oh, can I have a can of Coke? And it'd be, oh, no, we only sell Pepsi. Okay. So you'll take the can of Pepsi because that's what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll be in a pub and that's all they've got on the pump. And it's like, that's fine. But we're so conditioned to say that you just want that because they're always there. They're always there.
Yeah. And it's almost stopped being a brand and just started being, it's in the everyday lexicon, isn't it?
They changed the colour of my suit. My suit used to be green. It's red now.
But it's the same with Hoover. Hoover's a brand. It's a
value. Yeah, very
true. People call.
Yeah. People go, I'm going to Hoover.
Have you got the Hoover or I'm going to do the Hoovering? It's like, no, you're not, because there's no such thing.
That's a Dyson.
It's a Dyson or a shark or whatever, yeah.
But yeah.
So that's the level of marketing you need to
You get to that.
To. You get to
there. Exactly.
Okay,
that.
No pressure.
Yeah. Sellotape is another one.
Yes,
Sellotape is another one. It's like, that's a brand.
Yeah, when the brand becomes the item, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't even remember what we're talking about this
I don't know.
No,
it's digressing.
We've
now just given a load of massive brands free advertising.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you know, they can send us free stuff.
Exactly. If they want to sponsor the show, if anyone's out there from those brands, you're more than welcome.
Or any brands.
Anyone at all. But yeah, it's a great point. And I know firsthand that so many of us worry about it, and it's like, don't overthink it. Keep showing up, you know, keep some consistency.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will, it will get through, it will permeate.
And I think the thing is, having the consistency and seeing your logo, seeing your brand, seeing those, it sticks in people's minds subconsciously.
For sure.
I think there's something where years ago it would be people had to see your post 7 times before making a purchase.
Or seven different things of your branding. So before, whether it's a billboard or a van or a leaflet or a post on social media or your website, so many different things that they could see.
It was seven times. Now it's 30.
30?
30.
Oh, my goodness.
So
goodness.
Over the years, that has massively
helped.
Because on our phones, we are just consumed with information. There's so much stuff there that actually the brain needs more now.
Yeah, it's true.
So more than ever, you need to
unless you get spammed. Like I was saying in the car, I've been spammed today. I think I've had about 12. It's literally since we've been sat here. Mm. So Groupon have sent me a lot of messages. It's like, Groupon, seriously, too much.
Too much.
Too much. Yeah, calm it down. Mm-hmm. Calm it down. I'm not far away from unsubscribing. Yeah. Let's say calm down.
But that's the thing. There's a fine line between being irritating and being informative.
Exactly.
And keeping that kind of logo and the branding so that people recognise. And sometimes it's not even about that person purchasing or doing business with you. It will be that they meet someone that says, oh, I need XYZ. And they go, oh, I keep seeing this coming up on my social media. Why don't you go to them? So that it's the consistency.
Yeah, but it really does work. If you if you're in several different places and you've got and you know so you do have billboards or a van, like obviously this is locally, and then obviously online you've got your website, you've got your social medias, and they're all doing what you need them to do.
Yeah,
and you know there's so many things that you can be seen. You could that could be seen, and the more you're seen. You know, it is just about brand awareness.
Yeah.
It's just about being out there. And then the more you're seen, the more people, they might stop and have a look. They might not, but they've taken it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will have taken it in. They will have taken in the brand that you've just gone past.
And I mean, for me as well, I think, you know, lots of people say print is dead. I really don't believe that. So when things come through the door for me and it's tangible and in my hand, you know, I was thinking of having my bathroom redone and then 2 days later, the thing came through and it was a beautiful flyer and it had all these lovely before and after pictures. And then that made me phone that person. I didn't go onto my phone and search because it was kind of just like, oh, yeah, I'll do it when I have some time.
Yeah.
But that came through my door that then made me action and do that. So I still believe there is a massive...
There's a place for that.
Print is still very much there, you know. I came across a... I had to stop myself from like laughing and going, nah. Because you know, there's a lot of people out there with business cards, and they don't like having business cards. They just want to have the one on their phone.
Yes,
and literally about 7 days ago or something, this person was trying to get the one off their phone, but it wasn't working because there was no Wi-Fi, and it was like I just felt like laughing at them and saying,
so "If you had something,
had some business cards, guess what? You know." And it's just like, because obviously Wi-Fi is not always going to work.
No. Of course. I think as well, I've been in situations where I've been with people that, you know, again, I'm not there to sell to them. They're friends. And I was at a festival and the talk turns to holidays as it does. And it's just like, it was so easy to, you know, because I've always got a few in each bag or whatever to kind of just say, here you are, it's my business card. Much easier. It's quick, it's there, it's easy, you know. So there's a place for both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's exactly the same. I was one of my boys was playing rugby on Sunday, and one of the mums from his team, I didn't know she had a business.
No.
And she came over to me and she was like, oh, I saw you at the Jingle Mingle, the post Jingle Mingle that we did at the Abbott Spartan. And so in Canterbury, and I went to that and she was like, oh, I was at that and we didn't have a chance to talk. And she came over, started talking to me, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I pulled out a business card and I said, well, if you want any more networking, you know, never miss an opportunity. But
of course,
obviously having that card was right there. And then it's like, you know, if I had to pull my phone out, it was actually pouring down with rain. So on Sunday. And so it wasn't nice. It's like, so I'm not going to pull my phone out and be like,
no,
do you want to scan that?
Also, I think that when you're meeting so many different people, if I scan someone's phone and that goes straight in my contacts, then 2-3 weeks later, I think, oh, who was that person that did gardening services? I wouldn't even know what to look at on my phone to try and find them, because I might have 4 gardening people and I think, oh, which one was it that I saw last week?
But also, you might not have been looking for that person. You've just met them at networking, or you've had a chat with them, and out of politeness, you've taken their card because you think, well, I might need your services at some point, or I might know someone who needs it or whatever. And that's fine. You take a business card and you put it on your desk or whatever, and then it stays somewhere for a while.
Mm-hmm. It's a reminder, isn't it?
On your phone, exactly. It just gets buried in amongst all of the other stuff that's in there. And it's like, so there's nothing to remind you.
No.
There's nothing to say to you. You've got, oh, yeah. How many people go? Will just scroll through their contacts on their phone?
Yeah.
Like, just to get that reminder. It's like, I don't. No. It's like, I've got people on there from 10 years ago that I haven't spoken to in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like, because, you know, that's life.
They went in the phone and...
Yeah, they went in the phone, their details went in, and it was like, because they didn't have a business card or they, you know, whatever it was. And they're like, all right, okay. And that hasn't, we've never spoken again because it's now in the contact list of about 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, whereas a business card...
That tangible reminder.
It sits on your desk and it might end up underneath a load of things, but at some point, 2-3 months later or whatever, you'll however long... It. You'll be clearing away that bit and it'll be like, oh, that guy. Oh, yeah. And I wanted to have a chat with him.
Mm.
And it's like, because it's that little gentle reminder.
Yeah.
No, exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. And if you bonus, if you have your picture on there, even better.
Oh, it's the way forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're a visual learner.
Yeah.
It's like, because you'll remember the conversation. You might remember a conversation we've had with someone, but if you, like, try and remember, like, everyone's names. It's like, it's difficult. And so if there's a picture on there, then you can visualize that person and then go, oh, yeah, we had that conversation about that. Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah. Whereas a name, not necessarily.
No, so, yeah. I mean, goodness, most of us have got hundreds of contacts in our phones, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where do you start with that? Yeah, and they're a place for both, I think. Right, time is hurtling by. We're going to talk a little bit to Emma about... slightly personal things, not too personal things. But yeah, don't be scared, Emma. But yeah, first of all, we're going to have a song break and perhaps some more shout-outs.
You just launched a new business and need a website that makes an impact without breaking the bank. We've got you covered at Simply Design UK. We specialise in creating affordable, professional websites designed specifically for startups and small businesses just like yours. Using WordPress, we deliver sleek, user-friendly sites that not only look great, but are also easy to manage and perfectly built for your future growth. Fast, affordable, designed for success. Let's bring your business to life online. Visit www.simplydesignuk.co.uk or call 01843 62701 today. Simply Design UK big businesses start with a great website.
Sundays pass on by, I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, never had a working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living. Buddy's got me feeling like a jerk. $100 car note, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
Oh,
we're back. So that was Working for a Living, Huey Lewis. Another tenuous link to being a VA. Ah,
we love it. We love those tenuous links. So we're back with Emma, and just before we wrap up, we want to get a little bit personal. One of the things that was intriguing us both is the name of your business, which is Lumos. So where did Lumos come from?
So I just did a bit of Google searching because I wanted to, the whole concept of being a VA was mm-hmm. about lightening people's workload.
Right.
And yeah, making life lighter. And so mm-hmm. I was like, right, what kind of words can we use for lighten? And then I came across the Lumos and I was like, oh, I like Lumos. Yeah, Lumos yeah. Virtual Support. I like that. And then it was only, so I was away with my sister and we were sitting in a hotel room. We were just going through yeah. bouncing names and ideas. And then when I got back and I told my husband, he went, oh, what, like Harry Potter? I don't watch any Harry Potter films, but apparently Lumos is something.
Oh, it's, like, it's when you turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Lumos on.
I would have been completely clueless.
I've actually set my Alexa to do that.
Oh, okay.
So when they turn the lights on, I've called my, so we've got one of them plugs.
Oh, yeah.
It's connected to the light. And so when
Lumos.
Yeah. We in our house the kids love Harry Potter. In my opinion, we've killed it. We've watched it far too much. But they love it. And so the light in the lounge is called Lumos. So when you go to leave the room, it's Alexa, Lumos off. And it's like, yeah.
Love it. Well, that's where the whole thing came from, because it was lightening load and Lumos, but I didn't know that it had any connotations and connections
right.
to Harry Potter
because yeah, yeah.
I hadn't really watched that many of them.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. Lumos lightening your work.
Love that.
But it's a nice connection, isn't it?
I like that.
Yeah, very nice. I like it. And then when we're thinking about, I suppose, your kind of inspiration, you know, are you into self-help books or business books? Have you read any good business books or kind of, I suppose, productivity, you know, productivity kind of Bibles or books?
I'm a massive reader. I love yeah? reading.
Cool.
So I would far rather read a book than watch anything on TV.
Yeah.
I'm a complete bookworm. So I read all kinds of things. I've lots of self-help books and things like that. I really
yeah.
like that. I am a very positive person.
Yes.
I don't like negativity. I like to have lots of just positive thoughts, and I think that all kind of reflects back on you. I really
Absolutely.
Believe that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of self-help books. But then business-wise, I think the two that they probably cross over between self-help and business books. So it's not kind of solely about business. It is about mindset and business
yeah.
combined. Atomic Habits.
And oh, yes.
I love Atomic Habits.
Big James Clear fan.
Yeah. And, you know, habit stacking as well, because quite
yeah.
often when you want to bring in a new habit, it's the best way is to stack it with something you already do. So
Absolutely.
The organisational side of me loves that. And that's quite handy to then, you know, help my clients with, because quite often they could
yep.
be disorganised people or don't naturally find it easy to do structure and organisation.
Mm-hmm.
So to then kind of say to them, right, well, every time you go and do X, Y, Z, whether that's turn the kettle on in the morning,
yes.
then check your Trello board or,
yes.
you know, just yeah. habit stacking for them to kind of help organise their structure as well. And then the other one is feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that one as well.
So. That's one I've heard a lot of people say about, and I've not read it.
Oh, you really should.
Yeah.
yeah. And even if you just get the audio as well, because
yeah.
I do that, like the drive over here.
Yes.
An hour and
I was going to say,
car, that
it's really good to have an audio book in the car.
Yeah, I love them, especially like the mindset and the business ones, I think are really good for when you're driving around.
Yeah.
And then when I read a tangible book, I'm reading more things like crime thrillery things.
Yeah,
I like those kind of ones.
When I was a kid, I used to read all the Point Crimes.
Ah, okay.
And they were brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were all about crime, but they were more for teenagers.
Yeah.
So it was good.
I liked all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm currently reading. I've just had to look it up because I couldn't remember the exact name of it. The Art of Negotiation: How to Get What You Want Every Time.
Okay.
So I'm currently reading that. Yeah, Tim Castle.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, I've got three or four chapters in, and it is
Are you reading that one or is that
I'm reading
audio?
It. Yeah, I'm reading it. Yeah, I've got that on by the side of the bed. And actually, it's quite nice because I got into a habit of going to bed and playing games on my phone. And
yeah, I was scrolling, yeah.
I think we're all so guilty of that because, you know, even down to, like, when we're saying to children, oh, get off your phones, get off your...
Yeah.
Like, I can't really say that to my nieces and nephews because I'm addicted to my phone. I do everything on my phone.
Yeah.
We live in that world, like, our banking's on there, our diaries are on there.
Of course.
You know, we're doom scrolling or we're shopping or we're doing all of this. We are constantly on our phones, so I think it's
But the thing is, with all of them things, they're all necessity things. So, you know, you go your banking, fair enough, you need to do that. It's the stuff that once you've done all the stuff that you need to do, and then, you're doom scrolling, or you're playing games. And all right, some of the games sort of help. I try and pass it off as, one, it's downtime, but two, it's kind of keeping me brain active. And it's like it's keeping me thinking. Like LinkedIn's got a few puzzle games and things like that. And so
yeah, I think that's fine. I think when you're just before you're going to bed, I had a little book, Who Moved My Cheese, which we've talked about before.
The best book.
And I had really stopped reading altogether, and I'd very much got into the habit of being on Instagram before I went to bed. And I don't know whether it's just a coincidence. I think it was probably very tired anyway. But the other night, I just picked up the book. It's an analog book, so it's not even on my phone. And I slept so well, and my mind wasn't racing. I was very relaxed. And I think there's something. There's a lot in that. I think
there really is. You know. I think all business owners, because you know, a lot of our days are juggling, are on screens, doing all of this on the go. Our brains are going all the time. That actually, it's really important to do something to kind of wind down of an evening.
Absolutely.
So whatever that is for you, then just...
Have you read Who Moved My Cheese?
No. And I love cheese.
Put it on your list. It's got nothing... It's not really got anything to do with cheese.
No.
I mean, it sort of does, but it only from an analogy point of view.
Yes, exactly. It's very small. It's a very digestible.
It is a very quick book. It's probably... 60-90 minute read, and you get through the whole thing. But it's a really, really good book. I've read it four times, and each time I've come out with a different.
You get something different.
My
from
brain
it.
Is telling me different things because I was in a different place each time.
Yeah,
so
I like books that do that.
Yeah, it's a really, really good book.
When you're consuming books, you mentioned audiobooks, but if you're reading, do you like an analog book or do you have a Kindle or how do you typically read it?
I'm a book girl.
You're a book girl. Yeah.
I love it. And you know, I'm so particular as well. Like I can't lend books out because when I've read a book, they don't look like they haven't been read.
Yeah, I keep them they're pristine.
Yeah.
And then someone will say, can I borrow that book if it was good? No.
No.
I'll buy you a whole new one.
Yeah, yeah. You can have your own copy.
You can have your own copy. I'll buy it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't have mine. No.
Absolutely fair enough.
You never get
them
back.
And then I don't really know why, because they're just then at home on a shelf or in a drawer.
Yeah.
But I've just...
And you may never read it again.
No.
It's like you've read it the one time. It's like, that's that.
And I don't want someone to mess it up.
Exactly that.
Yeah. In a few years' time, you'll end up like, oh, I'm going to donate some books to the charity shop. And it's like, it's one of them books. You're like, oh,
that
10 quid that I spent on that book, why did I do that?
I
just
do that, but
yeah. That's me.
It's important to see you at the time.
I do have a Kindle for holidays because...
Yeah, because then you can't take it otherwise, a suitcase full of books.
No. I don't understand these people that read on holiday. Sorry.
When you're on holiday?
Playing.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I'm playing. I mean, I've got a million kids.
Well,
so
that's true. I don't have kids.
I'm generally on the slides or I'm in the pool or I'm playing pool.
But when I'm sunbathing, I'll just sit down and read a book. Or when I'm getting into bed, I'll read a couple of pages of a book. Or
I might be drunk.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's going to happen
when I say might.
Definitely. So you can't focus is what you're saying.
No, this is exactly what I was like. There's no point in that book being there. It's not going to get read.
I love it. But at least if you take a Kindle, though, you haven't wasted that luggage allowance. Yeah. It's still there for you to come back to. So I do like a Kindle.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, I mean, I've got Kindle on my phone, but for me, that feels a bit like, well, I'm still on my phone, even though I'm not, you know, I'm not. What I sometimes will do is put bedtime mode on and then just read the Kindle like that. Because at least then you're not looking at anything else.
Oh, that's the worst, isn't it? When you're trying to read something and it's a bit like either a book or whatever. And I don't generally read books on a phone or on a Kindle or anything because I just can't be doing with it. It's like it's a proper book or nothing. Or an audio book. But yeah, when you're trying to read something on your phone and it's just like ping, 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 ping. No.
You can't. Yeah, you've got to focus.
That does annoy
However you do it, you've got to focus, haven't you? But my resolution to myself this year is to read more because I used to read a lot and it's gone to nothing really.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a good resolution.
It's easy to get out of the habit, isn't it? And
yeah,
you just
absolutely.
Have to then kind of remind yourself to get back into that habit.
100%. So we're nearly at the end of the 2 hours. It's gone very quickly. So Emma, when you're not working, what do you like to do?
Well, I have a horse.
Wonderful.
So
called
Tavan.
Tavan.
Yes.
And where does that come from?
Well, it came with him.
Sounds Welsh.
Irish. Is it?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Tavan in Wales.
Maybe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so he's a thoroughbred.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he's my baby. Oh. And then I've also got my other baby, Lola, who's a staff crossed with American Bulldog.
Oh, cute.
So, yeah, I love animals.
Yeah,
obsessed
me
too. With animals. Yeah, so them, and I love hot pod yoga that they have in Margate.
Oh, yes.
So doing the yoga in the hot pod and sea scrub sauna as well.
Oh, that
so,
sounds nice.
Have you done that?
No.
What is that?
It's a sauna on the beach. And then you have the cold plunge barrels.
Oh,
but again,
yeah.
It's all very good for your mindset and your well-being. Yeah. So you're in the sauna and then you come out and you do the cold plunging.
Wonderful.
It's very good for your body, very good for your mind. And it just kind of...
Where is this? Is this over by the... over towards the train station?
Yeah.
I think I know. There's a bus down there, isn't there? Yeah. Is it near there?
Yeah.
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 All right.
But yeah, so I do that every month.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, just... times with friends and family. Love a cheese board.
Oh, I got a love cheese board.
I love eating, really.
You love a bit of restaurant action as well, because we've talked about this. We've decided our one-to-one has to be,
it's gotta be
food and wine focused, doesn't it?
Totally
yes.
Fair. And obviously, we've got less than a minute left. So, Emma, where can we find you online?
So, it's Lumos Virtual Support, which is Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And my website is www.lumosvirtualsupport.com.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Thank you for having me,
guys.
Thank you so much.
We've wrapped it up. There we go.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Great show, as always. And, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Perfect. Good stuff. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Been listening to the Business Networking Show with Linda Cloke, John Turner and Jill Russell.